I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy Monday. Good afternoon and welcome. It's the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Happy State Bank. You can take that mobile app just about anywhere with you. Even listen in up in Crapper, Oregon, if you so choose. Alongside Chris Sneed, I'm Choice Woodman. Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us. You, too, can hit us up. The thoughts, the comments, the questions, hopes, dreams, reaction to the weekend that was. All of it welcome in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Hey, yo, Sneeder!
What's up?
How you doing today?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good, yeah. How you been, man?
It's a Monday.
That it is.
We got baseball today.
We
feels
do.
Feels weird on a Monday.
But we do. And I am looking forward to that. Me and young Shelby, are we attending tonight? Looking forward to that.
Maybe some retribution for... No, it doesn't matter. Those are postseason games.
Those, yeah.
But,
I mean...
You still get to...
Yeah.
To go yell at the Cardinal.
I'm not going to yell at anybody.
What?
I'm just going to enjoy baseball with my daughter.
Holler at them.
I'm not going to holler. I'm going to cheer for my guys.
Okay.
People don't like when I yell at the other team. It's not sporting. It's very unprofessional. And
when did this start?
What in the actual hell was that? Yeah.
We'll get any of that tonight?
None of that.
No, we're alone. I mean, it's been passed on to me that it's, you know, they wished that I wouldn't do that.
Who's the they?
A lot of theys.
A lot of you peoples?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's fine. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to go to the game, watch the game. I retired from all that stuff years ago anyway.
When the chicken fell? When the chicken was taken down? Is that one?
The chicken wasn't taken down. The chicken chooses not to rise. I wouldn't want to make anyone mad.
Okay. That's the first time for everything. Sneed is not choosing to make anybody mad today. So
it's okay.
I'm just messing.
I have learned over the years it doesn't really matter. I'm gonna say something that makes somebody somewhere in this town mad. And
right.
It doesn't really matter, so I just don't care.
So
my give a blanker is way broken.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. Did you have a good Easter weekend?
I had a great Easter weekend. Young Shelby had several of her friends come over for Easter. She had several of her friends who couldn't get home, so we hosted them and made some delicious steaks and enjoyed the heck out of that.
Good.
I enjoyed cooking for her friends. It was really fun. And, got to celebrate the rising of the Savior. So I'm loving it. Great day.
That was Jesus' day yesterday.
Yeah.
Clint's day is today. Have you been pranked yet? It's April 1st.
I haven't been pranked, but I saw a dude get pranked on
on
a message board, and it was kind of funny. He fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, if you fell for the FAU and FIU playing on an aircraft carrier.
Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. So funny.
Lucas White comes in to me this morning. That's like the first thing he shows me. Did you see they're playing on an aircraft? I'm like, really?
It's like.
I mean, I knew those things are big, but are they that big?
I was like.
Is anybody going to be able to watch the game?
I mean, if you've been on a deck of an aircraft carrier, it looks like it would hold a football field. However, it would not.
Yeah.
And. That is funny. Did you see the second one that came out today?
Was it Duncanville?
Duncanville going to Alaska to play? You haven't seen that one?
No, I have not.
Yeah,
seen
I
that.
Was like, Duncanville's going to go to Alaska to play Alaskan. You know, they got August 31st.
It's like the most northern football field in North America.
And I was like, Why would they? Oh, it's April 1st.
Oh, yeah. It takes just a little bit. The first one you see, because it did not register to me when Lucas was showing me this. I'm like, yeah. Really? That yeah. makes no sense. And then I look at the date and it clicks. I'm like, oh. And I don't. I think he bit on it pretty hard. I don't think he was. Was quite aware. But there's that fun stuff going on.
Did anything interesting happen to you over the weekend?
Not that I know of. I mean, it was pretty. It's just a good old Easter weekend. Got to spend time with family.
So. Did I tell you I almost went to jail?
You didn't. No. Hopefully not on Sunday.
No, it was Saturday night. I was driving down Indiana Avenue, and a car cut me off.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't react to it very well, as I am wont to do. Most people know that once I get behind the wheel of a car, I'm a terrible person. And
not you, Sneed.
I rolled up beside him, and then I let him know that he was number one.
Oh, boy.
And in case he didn't recognize it, I showed him my other hand. He was still number one. And he said something to me, and I told him what he could do.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
And then I took off, and right about that time, here come the lights on his Woo. Undercover car.
Oh!
Yeah. I had inadvertently flipped off a...
No, double bird.
Yeah.
Not double, one.
Double birded a detective here in town. And it didn't help that I was in my my car that has the plates that have my name on it.
Uh-oh.
I usually don't do stuff like that, but I was so mad.
He cut you off.
He cut me off, and it wasn't like he was driving a Crown Vic or anything. He was driving an Explorer.
Did you explain to him why you were so angry?
I did.
Did you ask to see his license and registration?
I did not, but when he got out, I saw the lights, so I pulled over, and I did the one thing you shouldn't really do. I got out of my car aggressively.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And right about that time, he pulled out his service weapon, and I said, oh, boy. Next thing I knew, I was up against the back of my trunk.
All right.
My hands behind my back. And yeah, I was having my rights read to me. I did not.
So you didn't get in the back of the car. I
didn't get in the back of the car because that's an April Fool's joke and you fell right for it.
Oh, that's stupid.
I'm not getting arrested. I'm not double birding a cop.
Wait, you didn't know it was a cop in your story. I did fall for it.
You, it's reeling you in.
It's the dumbest story in the world.
When you got to, you were getting read your rights. That's how far you got me. Well,
I didn't do anything. I was well done. Saturday night. I didn't do anything.
It was good. You got me. I tend to think when my co-host is telling a story, it's typically true, but you know what?
You know what's really fun?
When
you do headlines next to start putting fake headlines.
The funny part was we just literally did two fake.
Oh, I know.
And I was like, did you see this? Did you see this? And I jumped right into my fake story. And then I said, oh, he is in it.
What an idiot choice. Way to go, you loser.
I was prepared to take that all the way down to the Lubbock County Detention Center, too. I was going to do all that, tell you about the guy.
You said almost arrested, so yeah. That's where you left.
I didn't get arrested, folks, as an April Fool's joke.
It's the bottom line.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging with us on a Monday. Is the bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Joyce Woodman, Chris Sneed here in the First United Bank studio. You shed the board.
Yeah, got hot.
We're talking about weird things a little bit, I guess.
No.
I can turn the temperature up. Keep hitting us up. We'll get to some baseball stuff. We've got our Owl Off that returns here in 15 minutes. We'll find out results.
And hey, can we say congratulations to Minnesota State?
Two times.
This is for real.
Okay.
Both their men and women won the D2 National Championship over the weekend.
Minnesota State.
The Mavericks and Lady Mavericks, not the Screaming Eagles.
So they've gone back-to-back in both?
No, I don't think they went back-to-back. They they won a national championship in both D2. And the reason why that's significant is that on the way to their national championship, Minnesota State men beat WT.
Okay. So there's another team that could do that, right, in Division I? NC
Correct.
State?
Yeah. Go Wolfpack.
I don't feel so terrible about that first round loss.
Yeah, all of a sudden that first round loss does not. And remember, we were all snickering when somebody, I think Lenardi or somebody, said the team, the double digit seed with the highest chance of making it to the Final Four was NC State. And we were all, right, wait till they get past us, right?
Man, I was extremely disappointed that night. Now I look back, I'm like, wow. All right. I mean, ran into an absolute buzzsaw.
And they've won, was that 11 or 12 in a row now?
That would be
12 in a row.
Only 9, right? Because they won 6 through the. Yeah, they've only. This whole.
Well, it's 5 and 5.
They won 5 in the conference tournament.
This is their fifth win. It's their fifth win to get to the Final Four. No, it's fourth.
Fourth win.
Ninth. So they won 9 in a row. And
but that was after losing 7 out of. Or 9 out of. Sorry, 7 out of 9 before that.
Yeah, but on the way to this, they've knocked off three teams that had to get to the tournament, and they've walked obvious 4 teams in the tournament, including Duke twice.
Duke twice. Pretty impressive. Yeah, I was in the camp of like, oh, okay, Duke's going to get them this time.
Yeah.
Duke only got through because Jamal Shedd breaks his ankle. I mean –
That's interesting because then you would have had the NC State Houston 1983 finals rematch.
Yeah.
With pretty Lorenzo crazy Charles, stuff. Sans Lorenzo Charles, sans Hakeem Olajuwon, Phi Slamma Jamma,
Clyde Drexler. It is some new-ish blood in the Final Four. I mean, Purdue's a big name, but they haven't been in the Final Four since before the tournament expanded, 1980.
Yeah.
NC State, 1983, last time they were there.
Alabama.
First time ever for Alabama.
And
they've never been
UConn.
There. So 3 out of the 4 teams we're not used to seeing here. Yeah. 3 out of the 4 teams I've never seen in my life.
Do you remember the last time you had 3 new teams and a blue blood?
Last year?
No, 2019? Oh, no, last year. last year.
FAU, San Diego State.
I was trying to get to our year. Yeah. Wow, I deserved that.
San Diego State. And who was the other one?
FAU, San Diego State, UConn, and –
Who's the fourth team? I can't. Oh, Miami.
Oh, that's right.
Everybody forgets Miami.
Yeah. Well, because I got beat by San Diego State. Or
and
UConn.
Then they went on this year to have expectations and just swirled the drain.
Yeah. Good gosh.
Speaking of Final Four,
so it's time for a pop quiz.
You need this. You need one of these in your life.
Okay. All right. I've been bucking for this, and
We're going over some history. 15 teams.
Oh boy, I'm gonna
15
be...
teams since the tournament expanded in '83 have been to back-to-back Final Fours.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna be easy on you. I need 10 of them.
Just back-to-back Final Four.
10, just to pass. You get all 15 of them.
I'm not going to get all 15 of them.
I'm going to take you out to lunch.
Since they expanded?
A hibachi lunch, a nice fancy one.
Ooh.
I'll take
you. We going to Benihana?
We'll go. Well, I don't think we got one of those. We got a few options in town. I'll take you for a hibachi lunch
I'm not going to get all 15.
Okay.
If I can get 5 of these, I'm going to be lucky. Duke.
Your one hint is think of, Blue Bloods. Okay, Duke is correct. They went 4 years in a row from 88 to 92.
I'm going to say Carolina.
I don't know. Carolina is correct. 3 different times they've done it.
Here's the thing about the next one. If they get out of the first round, they get to the Final Four, so I'm going to say Kansas.
That is correct. They've only done it once, but 02, 03.
How many do I have to
3.
Get? I have to get...
You got to get to 10.
Good God.
7 more. I'm leaving 5 open, too.
UNLV.
That is correct. 90-91. Good job.
Blue Bloods. I'm trying to think of...
It's not all Blue Bloods, I know. You do but well
gonna,
if you
I'm gonna
go with the Blue Bloods.
I'm going to say Michigan State.
Correct, Mundo. 99-01 and 09-10.
And I think I'm going to say one that's going to be off the beaten path and say Butler.
Correct, Mundo. 10-11. So you got six. You're missing a very obvious one.
Indiana.
Strike one.
UCLA.
Correct. 06, 07, and 08.
Yeah.
Three years in a row.
Still missing a very obvious one?
Very obvious one.
Bluish blood.
There's more blue bloods, but yeah, you're missing the most obvious one.
The most obvious one?
The most obvious one.
I said Duke. I said Carolina.
You've got Duke, Carolina, Michigan State, Kansas, UCLA,
Butler, Kentucky,
and UNLV.
Kentucky.
Kentucky's correct. They've done it three different times.
Is that the most obvious one?
No.
That wasn't?
No.
Where am I at? Eight?
You're doing all right.
I ran out the music.
Oh, he loses. You're doing pretty good. You've still got two strikes. Or you've only got one strike.
Do I get to phone a friend?
No, because he already took this quiz.
I passed.
You know what? Yes, because he knew pretty well all of them. He did well on it.
I need to phone a friend.
You get one phone a friend.
I need to phone the Viking.
I'm going to
give him the obvious.
I'm going to give. Oh, you want
the,
which
no,
one?
No, don't give me. Don't give me the obvious one. Let me.
Can I give him one of the ones that I missed and wouldn't have got?
No, those are. Harder. Go for it. I don't care.
Wisconsin.
I'm going to say Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is correct.
All right.
You're at nine.
I'm going to go Syracuse.
Oh,
I was thinking the Carmelo Anthony years.
He was only there 1 year.
That's right. The Carmelo Anthony year.
Yeah, he went back to back in his 1 year.
I'm going to go.
You are on the line right here. You got one strike to go, and you only need one more. You got to get it right.
I'm sorry. I'm going to use this phone a friend, and I'm going to call my dad and let my dad know that I'm about to win this. Kind of like the first guy that won who wants to be a millionaire. I actually don't need the help. UConn.
There's the obvious one.
I know. It just hit me. This year and last year. I was like.
There we go.
Do you remember that? The first year of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Oh, I remember that. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That dude.
I don't actually need your help. I just want to let you know I'm about to win this.
In the history of TV, is like, hey, I don't need you. I'm just telling you, I'm going to win.
I'm going to win $1 million.
So you got 10. You passed. Now, see if you can.
Oh,
keep
I'm
going.
Still going for lunch, right?
You can still go for lunch, yeah.
Oh, jeez. These are all going to be hard. Because they won't be obvious. Arizona.
ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Arizona, strike three.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, wait a second. You were about to give me the hints.
I was, but you already went Arizona.
What were they? So, no. Don't tell me. What's
conference? ACC, two SEC.
Oh, Florida.
Two Big Ten. That was it.
Michigan.
Florida is correct. Florida won back-to-back years.
Yeah, Michigan.
Michigan is correct.
And he said two Big Ten?
ACC, no, you already got one of the Big Ten. ACC, Big Ten, SEC.
The only other one that could be in the Big Ten. Ohio State.
Former ACC. They were ACC
Louisville.
At the time.
No, Maryland.
Maryland. They were at the ACC at the time. Louisville is correct also, and Arkansas was the last one we were looking for.
Oh, that's right.
94-95.
They sure did.
Yep.
Todd Day.
You did well. You passed. So you get a fist bump for it.
I wanted lunch.
No lunch, though. It is the bottom line. We'll get our owl off coming up next. More thoughts from you. We'll talk some more baseball on the other side of that on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
The basketball Final Four has got their team set. We have not yet set the Final Four for the Owloff because we're more precise. Got to make sure it's on point. But it is time for Kaylee's Daily.
That is at Kaylee's Daily. Is brought to you every day at this time, of course, by me. And she's been properly compensated.
Yes.
Choice. Cleat. It is April 1st, and this is for real, for real. The winner in the second round matchup between the Elf Owl and the Short-Eared Owl is the Short-Eared Owl. As you recall, the Short-Eared Owl will literally rip the wings off of the Elf Owl in flight. So, sorry about you, little fella. Glad you got here. You're kind of like Oakland. You got there and got wore out. The next second round matchup features the 6-seeded Burrowing Owl and the 3-seeded Barn Owl. I hate barn owls. I have barn owls in my barn, and that is not cool because they are, you know, the barn owls are actually burrowing owls. They get up in your barn
stuff,
and you can't kill them, you know, so they're protected. So there's that. Reminder that burrowing owls are widely distributed. They hunt during the day and have a higher carbon dioxide tolerance than other animals. So barn owls are usually 12 and a half to 16 inches in size, and they can be found throughout all of regions in Texas, including in my barn, making them one of the most widely distributed owl species. Like the name implies, these owls are commonly found on farms and agricultural settings. These owls have a ravenous appetite for mice, voles, and shrews. Do you have any shrews around your place?
Do not. Don't have any barn owls either.
Yeah.
None living in my barn.
Yeah. Well, we don't have any mice, thanks to the barn owl, apparently.
That's a good thing.
I know, but they also...
Don't even need it's like a flying cat.
You don't even need a barn cat if you got a barn owl.
Barn owls are able to produce more owlet eggs based on the amount of food they eat. The more food they gather, the more eggs they lay, and the more barn owls I have in my barn.
All right.
Well, there you go, free breakfast, you know? Just go out and collect the owl eggs.
Huh?
You want to bring a couple over? Just get a glove and take it over to my house, and we'll take a barn owl.
Yeah.
Just find out which one, you know, eventually beats this owl and introduce that owl into your barn and get rid of them.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out tomorrow as we I think we're closing in on the Final Four here. I think this is the last of our, I don't know.
Getting close.
Yeah, but good luck in the Short-Eared Owl. Moving on to the next round.
Bye.
Bye, Felicia. The Elf Owl. Yeah, well, bye.
There you go. Thanks to Kaylee, as usual.
Somebody on the Sneed line, I didn't see this until after they did say Gonzaga.
No Gonzaga.
Yeah, I didn't think it was right.
No. Nope.
That was one that I missed.
That was an incorrect guess by Mike Klintler. So speaking of animals, we are narrowing in on our horse names to go to the voting. We've gotten just about all of our horse names to advance to the voting stages. I can't read all 56 of them.
56? We're down to 56?
We're down to 56.
Gosh. This is worse than the tournament, man.
This will be okay, so this is going to be a 20-horse race.
Wow.
I know.
That's a lot of guesses. An extended gate.
Yep. So Clint gets an extended time to go through and tell us about the horses, which is great. This will be a 20-horse race. We have 6 horses that are through. And the last 14 spots will be voted on by you, the listener. So
they're going to vote on.
We will put these on the Twitter machine.
Okay, so they get 56 to vote.
So there will 14? Be there will be 4 horse pods to vote.
Ooh, pod system.
Yeah. Okay, this will be a pod system.
It's like a regional.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. One will advance.
Are you going to have a 1 seed in each of these pods?
They will be seeded accordingly.
Nice.
Well, we won't tell you who the seed is, but...
Oh, really?
Well, Clint and I have kind of put together the groupings of like A names and B names and beyond. So we're trying not to put more than one A in a particular group. So,
okay.
So 14.
All right.
We will have that voting process.
What would you say loosely based on how many times we've seen it re-pop up when people have joked about names and just general heavyweight names that have been thrown out?
Meat sock.
Wait, which of the
of yeah, how we oh, went of how we went A B?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's probably like and like people talking about them as well as the ones that just sound the best or the funniest. I mean, it's just kind of a combination of those. Or that
we really are like the committee. We won't tell you what our real
yeah,
system
we're not gonna
is.
Tell you, we're not going to explain how we got there. We just did it to basically get our favorites through. That's exactly what we're doing.
Which one gives us the best TV ratings?
Here,
here we go.
Unblended fudge.
Here are the potential one seeds.
Unblended fudge.
Fudge?
Fudge. Unblended fudge.
Oh, my gosh.
Here, a late entry.
Here are your potential one seeds. Hibachi Sadness. Flaming Disaster. Crazy Feet, spelled F-E-A-T. Zombie Runner. Delicate Persistence. Unleashed Fun, Focus Factor, Rainbow Wahini, which was Kaylee's daily one at one point, People Mover,
yeah,
Big Sweaty Cuban, Constant Companion, Shenanigans, Ding Dong Daddy, Glue Factory, Zebra Muscles, Humpback Gladiator, and Molested Goose. Those are your potential ones.
I love Molested Goose, man.
You know, so
I love a Molested Goose and a People Mover.
People Mover. Yeah.
And what is it? Unbridled Fun?
Unleashed Fun.
Unleashed Fun.
Unleashed Fun. So all of those are your...
Try to have me some Unleashed Fun today.
potential one seeds.
I am going to have some Unleashed Fun on Friday. That's for sure, as I fly to St. Louis.
What is there to do in St. Louis?
Giraffe time.
Hit up Rob Verbe. I had a Rob
giraffe
Verbe dream
time.
Over the weekend.
Unleash fun, giraffe time, Verbe sightings.
Oh, my goodness. Someone did say almost erected. It could be a horse name. That was something Clint said. Or, no, Sneed said earlier.
I was almost erected.
And now we know why he wasn't arrested. The cop didn't want any of that.
He didn't want any of that unleashed fun.
Oh, gosh.
Unblended fudge.
Well, it was fun, y'all. We used to have a show here at 3 to 3. All the kids are out of school right now, too. So good
no,
luck.
They're not. Oh, they are.
I think everybody's out.
No, I'm working.
No, it's kids.
No.
Unless you're just claiming to be a kid, then that's.
I'm a kid at heart.
I'm not going to
argue. As Juan said, I'm growing up in front of your eyes.
That's right. That's right. So, Texas Rangers over the weekend, Sneed, you...
I was pleasantly surprised with what I saw. And pleasantly surprised by the pitching. And
I think overall, yeah.
The question
well,
we
saw three starting pitchers.
Well, we saw Uvalde and Bradford. Who pitched yesterday? I missed the start of it.
John Gray.
Yep. And he gave up 5.
He didn't do well.
Yeah.
Didn't do great, but really the back end of the bullpen hurt you yesterday more.
The bats got you back in it, and then the bullpen let you down.
One thing we know is this team will be able to hit.
They will. Wyatt Langford almost got his first home run.
Goodness.
Got his first triple.
Hit it to – hey, young kid, don't hit it to the 410 sign, and you might be able to get it
hit
out.
Hit it to dead central, man, and nearly got out.
Still almost got it out. Yeah, that kid's going to be fun to watch. I mean, Josh Young had a great opening weekend. He had a home run on Saturday. Yeah.
I ain't mad at it.
Overall, you know, I'm, again, entering this season with the, hey, it's honeymoon season for the Rangers.
Yeah.
For
let's
me.
Let's see how hungry they are. This is going to be interesting to see how hungry this team is to get back and do it again.
I think you've got enough new guys that – That's probably going to be the case, but well, it's hard to say.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging with us. You're listening to the Bottom Line 100.7 The Score, 100.7thescore.com. Choice Woodman and Jamie Lent here in the First United Bank studio. Keep the thoughts, the commentary coming in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll talk some baseball, some basketball. Haven't really mentioned it today. obviously big news over the weekend. Pop Isaacs and Robert Jennings into the transfer portal. I don't know what that sound was. I was gonna say, what was your initial reaction to seeing this over the weekend, Jamie? Are you kind of numb to the portal stuff, or is this like, oh, okay, not super surprised, or are there still surprises out there? Were you expecting it? What was the reaction to seeing those two particular names?
For Robert Jennings, a little bit disappointed.
Okay.
Thought that he could be a good, you know, off the bench big, and feel like he was improving.
Okay.
And so felt like if he stayed here for 4 years, he would continue to get a little bit better and never to be a superstar player for us. But I like the energy that he played with, what he brought to the table, effort. I mean, I liked all of it. At the same time, I understand he probably wants to go somewhere where he feels like he can be a starter and play bigger minutes. My guess is that will not be at a Power 5 school. But who knows? I may be completely wrong on that. I mean, he's a little bit undersized, and so he's kind of a tweener, right? I mean, you can't really play him at a small forward or anything like that, but
sure.
Just because he's not fast enough, but you can't really – he's not a true 4 or 5 because he's – what is he, 6'8"? You know, he's not
– if
just,
that.
Yeah, so he's just really not. So, but I liked his game a lot, so I was disappointed to see that, but I totally understand it. And if he's leaving because of the situation of, hey, I want to go somewhere and play more, I don't have major gripe about that, okay? Pop Isaac situation, I think I've made pretty well clear that I think I felt like this was going to happen mm-hmm. since the moment the drama went on in the Bahamas. I felt like he would find somewhere else to be. At the end of the year, when the last game was played and he was asked in the locker room, do you plan to come back? I thought it was the right thing for him to say, yes, that's my plan, blah, blah, blah. I have no idea whether it was his idea or whether it was Coach McCaslin's idea. But I will tell you, I don't think his style fits what Coach McCaslin wants.
I agree, yeah.
Okay, so I'm completely open to the possibility that he was told, hey, I think you'd be better off going somewhere else. Okay? So
sure.
I'm... You know, 16 points a game or whatever he scored for you this year was good. Did a lot of good things for you, but I don't think his style fits about what you're trying to do.
I think I had a lot of similar feelings. I kind of expected Pop Isaacs to go in the portal. Jennings was less expected for me, but I guess the expectation. The overarching expectation for all of it is that nothing should surprise you when it comes to the portal. Right? For the most part, nothing should surprise you. If you got a guy that has already transferred once and he'd have to sit out a year and doesn't have a good reason, maybe that can still surprise you. Like a Darian Williams, he's already done his transfer, as a sophomore, would have to go sit out a year to transfer somewhere else.
Yeah, so unless he graduated,
be,
right?
Right. Okay. So that would be surprising if he left. But for those that have a year of eligibility or have a eligible transfer, I don't think anything should be surprising at this point. And disappointing? Absolutely. My feelings towards Isaacs aren't super disappointing. I mean, yeah, I liked him. I liked the good he did because I don't think you do what you did with your team this year without the good version of Pop Isaacs. I don't think you had a scorer on this team that would have carried you through some of those moments this year. That being said, you look at the overall numbers, 34% from the field and 29% from three. The overall product, I think you can replace. You can get those numbers again, but the part that you have to find – somewhere in the portal, and you've got a few shots to try it. Right now, I think you have 6 openings on your roster. What you got to find is a scorer, a guy with a scorer's mentality. Not necessarily a ball hog like you might have had before, but
him to be a little bit more efficient.
Yeah, someone that is aggressive enough to say, I'm going to go make a shot for my team mm-hmm. when that's needed. Because mm-hmm. there's no question Pop Isaacs had that. And I'm not sure you've got another one on the roster that will consistently do that, that will shoulder the team when needed.
Right.
Now, I think there were times where he shouldered the team when not needed, and that hurt you. And yeah, so I don't think that, and I'm not trying to come off as sour grapes or anything like that. Like, I didn't enjoy the good moments with Pop Isaacs, but I don't know. This isn't one of those blows to your team to me where it's just, oh my gosh, I don't know what we're going to do in the future without this guy.
Yeah, I guess if you have faith in Grant McCaslin's ability to recruit, and clearly it's through the portal at this point to replace him, not some high school kid that you're bringing in, then you feel exactly like what you just said, Choice, that you feel like this can be overcome. Probably not that easy to find, you know, go-to scorers, so to speak, in the portal, but I don't know, man. There's a lot of guys out there. And so we'll have to see what Coach McCaslin can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
No one has to sit right now because of the current lawsuit. A judge ruled that they can't force players to sit out while it's ongoing. That is correct for right now, but that can change. So if Darian Williams or whomever that's already transferred once and it's not a grad transfer decided to go somewhere else, and then that another judge changes that back, then they would have to be sitting. So that is still looming, even though in the immediate moment, no, they wouldn't have to sit out. When you say Pop Isaac's style doesn't fit McCaslin's offense, Jamie, can you be more specific as to what you don't think fits?
Not just offense, player as a whole. Let's start with below average defender, poor shot selection, doesn't always play within the offense because of that, and assist to turnover ratio is not great.
Yeah, he won a 2-1, and he was pretty well 1-1 this year on that.
Yeah, I think he improved from a year ago in his ability to create.
Think so? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the elephant in the room, or not, or whatever you want to call it, the off the court stuff that you went through, and the fact that you can tell he was clearly affected by the chance and those sorts of things. Sometimes a fresh start is good for everybody on that sort of thing. So whether he, legality or not, whatever, the stuff in the Bahamas, like you said, Jamie, it's probably factors into this decision as well, maybe for all parties.
I have no idea. I mean, at this point, I'm just focusing on the basketball side of it. And I think the thing that, to me, I don't think maybe that we think about or we realize enough here is that, you know, when we talk about, you know, other guys not doing enough and Pop was the guy that was, you know, had the guts to go take a big shot and all that kind of stuff. Well, how much of other guys not doing enough is the fact that you're taking quick three-point shots two steps behind the arc before you ever try to run the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I mean,
so can we blame Kerwin Walton or Chance McMillan for not getting up enough shots? Or can we blame Darion Williams for only getting up 8 shots in any game or 10 shots in any game when we're not giving the offense a chance to run because our guy who is struggling from three-point range is taking 3-point bombs.
Yeah.
Okay. Before the offense ever has a chance to set up and run.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where I say, you know, how much of, you know, could other guys have stepped up more if given the chance to run the offense, if the offense actually ran through?
Y'all can react to that or any of what we've said on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Bring in your own thoughts. We'll continue some basketball conversation, look at the Final Four, after some baseball conversation. You got a question of the day coming up next, as well as I'll talk a little Rangers on the other side. The opening weekend looked pretty good for Texas. How high are your hopes if you're a Rangers fan? All that's still to come. You're listening to The Bottom Line till 3 o'clock today on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be part of your Monday. Happy April Fool's Day. Here on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman and Jamie Lent.
Did you pull off any pranks today, Choice?
I was going to ask you if Clint's gotten you yet.
Clint who?
Fair enough. Ah, that's what you get for siding with me. You're dead to him now.
The small amount of credit, if I had any built up, was just washed away.
See ya. No pranks for me.
Okay.
Might get the kids later with something. Eh. It was different. Usually I would have gotten the kids like slightly with something.
Now just tonight's like no supper. That's my prank.
Okay, that'd be good. That'd be good. No, normally I would have gotten the kids with something, but no one had school this morning, so I didn't even wake them up to mess with them. Oh, that would have been an even better prank. Wake them up, get ready for school. Oh, just joking. You don't have...
Thought we didn't have school. No, they changed that. You didn't hear that? They changed that.
Oh, that would have been mean. Make them all get ready.
And then about 20 minutes and then be psych.
That would actually... Dang
That'd
it.
Be viciously mean.
That would be really mean. To get them up.
Just
when
do
they
the opposite tomorrow.
In.
Don't wake them up for school.
I think you're onto something.
Right?
Clint,
they'll
father of the year.
That'll go well.
All right. Let's get to a question.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day, brought to you by someone not named Jamie.
This question brought to you by David Collier, because I am stealing from him. So I heard him ask it earlier this weekend, or, you know, like a few hours ago.
Okay.
Probably more accurate. Jamie and Clint, we are at the exact halfway point of the baseball season for Texas Tech. You've played 28 games. You have 28 left on your schedule. Texas Tech is at... 19-9. How many games do you win in your final 28? You're welcome to pull up the schedule if you want to count them out, see how the midweeks go, those sorts of things. But 19-9 is where you're sitting right now. How many wins does Texas Tech have left?
I say they're going to get to 42.
All right. I'm in. 42 is getting you. I would say 40 is the threshold to get you in the tournament almost every year. But
I was giving myself a little leeway.
But this year, the Big 12 is so
That's exactly why
so
I
rough.
It needed to be higher.
Oh, so you're just like, you know, giving yourself a pep talk here too, just to.
I don't know, Choice. This one is so hard for me.
It is.
My heart says you're going to get this thing figured out. And my heart also is listening to my head a little bit and saying, "Hey, your pitching staff is really coming into shape, into form here.
Agreed.
Really rounding out nicely, and we all know if you can pitch, then you can win a lot of games." Problem is that you can pitch, you don't defend well, and you have to have some offense. And right now we've not proven that we have a lot of offense on the road.
Definitely.
Got to win some big 12 series on the road. So my head is telling me that you're not going to get in.
So here's what Texas Tech has left. You got three against...
Are we at the point where we say you are who you are?
A halfway point is right in that range of you are who you are.
Feels
but
like
the, I think the hard thing is, who are you? Because you have had times where your offense has been good this year, and you've had times where your pitching's been bad. Right now, you're kind of... You flipped that around lately, where the pitching has outperformed the offense as of late. So I think my heart, similar to yours, is like, hey, what if they do put it together? Put the two together. The pitching's there now, and the offense figures things out like they did at one point this season. Because there are individuals that look more lost at the plate than they did earlier in the season. And then there are guys that are hitting better than they did.
I mean, some of the body language I don't love. Mm-hmm. It just looks like a team right now that's not playing with a lot of confidence at the plate. And that's disappointing because, like I said, your pitching staff is rounding into a pretty good form. And, I mean, you give up 9 runs every Big 12 weekend, you're going to win a lot of series.
Should.
And you didn't win last one.
How many did you give up in Waco?
They had a 7-run game.
Okay,
five,
I forgot about
zero,
that.
12.
So 12 runs 12. There. Yeah. And that should still apply. You should win most series where you give up 12 runs.
Yeah.
Should. Okay, so what you've got left on the schedule, and you said you went 23 and...
Yep.
23 and 5, I think, is what you're saying down the stretch.
That's too much.
Let's go.
Yeah, I mean...
I get it. Stanford, 2 against Stanford, 3 against Houston, all 5 at home. Feel good about your chances at home. Then you go to ACU.
I mean, you're better than, quote-unquote, all 5 of those teams' games, and you're playing at home, you're the better team.
Agreed.
But it's baseball, man. We know you can't just.
But I also I think it's not crazy to expect a 4-1 week.
No, definitely not.
It's not crazy. At ACU, 3 at TCU, 2 at Arkansas. Pretty tough stretch you got going there. 3 at home against West Virginia, 1 at home against New Mexico, 3 on the road at Kansas. 4-game homestand, UTRGV, then 3 against OU, 3 at OSU, then you make that road trip to Phoenix for Tempe, for Arizona State, UNLV, Arizona State. So it's not an easy schedule, but.
No, but I wouldn't say it's impossible either.
No, I don't think so. And how many times have we seen the lull or the stretch for Texas Tech, or it's towards the end of the season? It's like, man, oh. Or you have, it seems like every baseball season, every minus 2 or 3 teams in the country, every fan goes through we're just not that good. Mm-hmm. Feels like you go through those stretches. And hopefully that's what you're going through right now, mm-hmm. where it's just we're just not that good. Because I remember feeling that way, trying to think of the particular season. Really, it feels like last year, towards the end, you did that. No, 2 years ago, when did you play Stanford? 21?
21.
21. That year felt like going into the postseason, you were really dragging your feet. And you played pretty good in the postseason, first game, and then lost to Stanford and a hot team. But, Clint, what say you? What's the final record for?
So I'm treating this right now as if you were to write this down and we'd come back in a competition format. And so I feel pretty pedestrian in some regards about this team. And on one hand, I'm going, okay, well, you know what? If the pitching continues to get better, continues to find some consistency, and the bats do wake up, you could have a great stretch. But then who's to say if the bats pick up, your pitching doesn't stumble back, something like that. So I'm going 15 and 13. I almost went 14 and 14. But as I was going down the stretch, I mean, you've just got some rough teams there. Some of those series in the Big 12, obviously on the road. And I think the rest of the Big 12, you're trying to figure out what it is as a conference, which makes this so much tougher when you're doing not just trying to figure out who you are, but who was West Virginia, who was Kansas, things like that right now in the league, that I'm feeling a lot safer to go close to a 500 record on the way out.
It's hard to predict any kind of success away from home.
Right now it is, absolutely.
Right? I mean, Baylor and UCF are not at the top of the conference.
Yeah.
You know? And you're just not scoring runs against them. I thought there was a lot about UCF that I liked as far as their talent and what they had on the mound and a few guys at the plate. I don't think they have a ton of depth in their lineup, but and they're also old and veteran and you know, you go back to Saturday's start. You have a 23-year-old starting against an 18-year-old.
Isn't it crazy?
I mean, that's a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah.
What I didn't like was their stupid Orlando jerseys. Those were dumb.
Oh, I liked them.
You like them?
Yeah.
I'm out on him.
I really did not like the music playing in between pitches when our guy was on the mound. I mean, he'd be darn near into his windup before the music would shut off. And I also didn't like, you know, watching the side of a building all weekend. That's a different story.
Come on, guys. You're in the Big 12 now. Let's get it together. 19-9. I'll go exactly the same. And I don't know if that's enough to get you in the postseason this year.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.